What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters, and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Cattle farmer, vegetable farmer, but that's what it's centered around.
All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I said I'm a part of the Talon County Self-Help Cooperative based here in Fallon, Mississippi, and our biggest thing, we're vegetable and cow farmers, but...
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Bistar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at FiveStarBank.com. Bistar Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Open. So if you're a farmer and...
Welcome to the Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I would like to invite you to stay with me. It will be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and it will be done with no manipulation, because we don't try to manipulate people. We don't try to get you to join anything. We're not trying to ask you for anything. We're simply here for one reason, to give you something, to give you accurate information, information that I pray will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. But my job as host of the Flatline is to simply get it right, to be accurate. Not to try to motivate you by using some emotional sob story. Not to try to manipulate you. Motivation and manipulation are not my intent. My intent is to give you truth and inspire you with the Word of God. Motivation, manipulation, no. But truth, yes. To give you the Word of God. You know, the Holy Spirit can do the motivating. And so my job is to get it accurate, to be correct, not to mislead you, not to encourage you wrongly, but to give you the right information. That's why we have a show called The Flotline, F-L-O-T. If you've been listening, if you've been coming in, listening to this new radio show on your radio station there. This show is about a forward line of troops, F-L-O-T. That's not our military show, no, but that is a military analogy. That's using a military analogy in the Christian life. And that's not unusual. That's in the Bible. Paul the Apostle used that when he talked about putting on the armor of God and compared the Christian to the Roman soldier. So, I mean, this is not unusual. But what we're trying to do is to show you that there is a protocol plan of God, in effect, that God has laid down a system for us, and that if we want to live the Christian life to the fullest, we have to learn the system and function within the system. We can't make the rules up as you go along, and you can't violate the system or the protocol of the system, which means that a right thing always has to be done in a right way. And that's why we... Last week on this radio show, we showed you 7 or 8 or 10 reasons why prayers might not be answered. Because you may, in effect, be doing the right thing, which is prayer, but you may be doing it in the wrong way, and thus it's not going to go any higher than the ceiling. If you didn't hear that show, you can always write to me and request it. We'll be glad to send you a CD of that show. Anything that we say here, you can always get a copy of it. You can always write to us at Rick Hughes, Post Office Box 100. And the city is Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell, like crops. Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Also, we have several books we've written that are free. And one in particular called Christian Problem Solving lists all 10 of these problem-solving devices that make up the flat line of your soul. So God does definitely have a plan. And that plan is organized. That plan has protocol. And that plan is in the Bible, in the Word of God, and it is your job to learn it. If you don't believe that, then you must ignore where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are told in the Bible to study so that you won't be ashamed, so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, then obviously you might misunderstand it, wrongly divide it, and you could be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ when you get to heaven and you find out as a Christian that you blew it, that you had an opportunity to have the most wonderful life, but as a Christian you never took advantage of it. You never learned the system. So you went through and using human viewpoint thinking, which is what the unbeliever has, using human viewpoint thinking, human viewpoint rationale, you tried to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh, and you got frustrated because it didn't work that way. It is a supernatural life. I'm not talking about something weird. I'm just saying the Christian life is a supernatural life, and it must be lived within the supernatural power of God the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus Christ our Lord sent and deployed to us when he left. He deployed the Holy Spirit. He said he would do that, and that he would be our mentor, our coach. And also given to us is a legitimate canon of Scripture called the Bible. These two things, the Bible, listen to when I quote the Scriptures, where it says, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a critic of thought and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you hear that? Those three verses? That pretty well tells you that God has a plan, and you are to learn the plan. Peter wrote it this way, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I became a Christian, I did not know enough. I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. I knew I had eternal life, but I didn't know how the plan operated. It took me over 2 years. I mean, I wandered around making one mistake after another, trying to feel good about myself, knowing that I was a Christian, but never fully comprehending nor understanding God's plan for my life. Yes, I had friends that meant well, and they indeed tried to tell me how to live the Christian life. And some would say, you got a witness, brother, you got a witness. And some would say, you got a tithe, brother, you got a tithe. And some would say, you got to live a holy life, brother. Some would say, you got to pray, brother, pray. Pretty soon I found out that once I added all those things up, I didn't think I could do them. So I thought that even though I might be a Christian, I was a pretty pitiful Christian because I couldn't live up to all these expectations that these people put upon me. Finally, in the grace of God, I was led to a pastor, a man who knew God's word and taught it faithfully, and by the way, did so for 52 years as pastor of one church. And he taught me God's word. And that is why I'm able to talk to you with authority, knowing what I'm talking about. I'm not here to mislead you. I'm here to give you accurate information. And if you will listen to me, you will learn this plan. And you will learn how to live the most phenomenal life the world has ever seen. The Christian life. The life that our Lord Jesus Christ pioneered while he was here in the devil's world, and the life that is available to you by means of God the Holy Spirit being filled with him, and by means of understanding and applying, utilizing the principles and the promises found in the Word of God. That's why you have a Bible, and that's why it's for you. See, all of this will lead you to understand what your personal sense of destiny really is. You see, the personal sense of destiny is, in fact, a tremendous problem-solving device for the Christian. Having a personal sense of destiny, knowing why you were left here, knowing what your life is about. It's the greatest comfort. It's the greatest encouragement to have that kind of direction. You know, have you ever taken off on a trip and you know where you're going? You know, you say, okay, I'm driving to Houston. Oh, okay, I'm driving to Chicago. And so you know your destination. And when you get there, you're relieved. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. And so on my destination to heaven, there are going to be a lot of turns, just like on a trip to Houston, or a trip to Chicago, or a trip to Tallahassee, or a trip to Denver. I could make a wrong turn. And if, in fact, I make the wrong turn, I'm still on the trip. I'm just waylaid. I'm off down the wrong direction. And I know people that have traveled 200 or 300 miles in the wrong direction before they figured it out and turned around and went in the right direction. God has a direction for you. God has a plan for you. God has a roadmap for you. It's the Bible. If you learn it, you won't go in the wrong direction and waste time. That's why we're told in the Bible to redeem the time, to make good use of the time that God gives us, so that we can glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is in fact able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So here's the first confidence that you have, that no one can take you out of the Father's hand. Maybe you've had someone tell you that you're not a Christian any longer. This happens on occasions when some smart-mouthed, nosy religious type sticks his nose into your business and tries to tell you that because you did something that you're not really saved and you're not really a child of God, or you wouldn't have done that. Jesus said, no one can take you out of the Father's hand. I give unto them eternal life, and no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:28-29. That's a true verse. So if some religious, self-righteous, holier-than-thou person tries to tell you that you're not really saved anymore, or you wouldn't have done that, they are dead wrong. Because if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you received Him, nobody can take you out of the hand of God. In Jude, verse 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before His presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So yes, He has you. You are secure. But He also has a plan for you, a reason that you're here, a purpose and a meaning for your life. And that's where you must learn it. That's where you must have success. I'm not saying that you will be successful in your spiritual life. That depends on your attitude towards the Word of God, not God's faithful provision for you and eternal life. You're not going to lose your eternal life, but you could, in fact, lose your rewards as a mature believer if you don't fulfill the plan. There is a plan. There are rewards. God wants you to learn it. God wants you to grow up. Understand? But there is no sin, and I'm saying this one more time, there is no sin that you can commit that will cancel the 40 things God did for you at salvation. I know what people tell you, but you need to look at the Bible and read the Bible. For example, if I were to bring up the scenario and say, well, what if a person was a Christian and he had sex with his mother-in-law? Would he go to heaven? And they'd say, oh, no, no, no. Well, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5, and you may be surprised that that's the very thing that happened in that passage. So sex doesn't send you to hell. what sends a person to hell is what the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What sends someone to hell is not sin, it's unbelief. And the reason is, sin was paid for on the cross. Every sin you ever did was paid for. Now, as a Christian, sin blocks us from having fellowship with God. And we have to learn how to deal with our sin. And that's where 1 John 1:9, which is the rebound technique, that's why we call that problem-solving device number one, where it says if we confess our sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. Because sin, such as mental attitude sins, sins you do in your mind, sins no one sees you do, worry, fear, jealousy, anger, those are all sins. And you can do those without ever opening your mouth and saying a word. They will break fellowship with God. So you have mental attitude sins? Yes. You have sins of the tongue? Yes. Like lying and slandering and gossiping and criticizing and maligning and backbiting. And then you have overt or outward sins, such as stealing and murder and fornicating and adultery and drunkenness. Yes, these are all sins. And sin breaks fellowship with God. But it doesn't take away the salvation that God gave you. No one takes that away. God gave it, and God is faithful. And Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You got it? You have to read about the life of Moses, how he murdered someone. Or you have to read about the life of David, how he fornicated and murdered someone. You see the failures of these men and know that they're still in heaven? It's not about how good you are. If you think you're going to go to heaven because you're good, if you think you're going to go to heaven because you don't drink or dance or smoke or you walk around and act holy and call everyone brother and everyone sister, listen, a Christian may do that kind of stuff, but that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is you understanding your personal flat line. It's you understanding how you fulfill the plan of God in your life. So if you have a personal sense of destiny, it will remove all boredom in your life. It will remove all self-pity in your life. It will give you self-induced ability to solve problems in your life. But there are three things you must know. We've been over them already. You can never understand God's plan for your life if, first of all, you don't have doctrinal orientation, one of our problem-solving devices. And that means that you can't understand it by means of human viewpoint thinking. It only comes through divine viewpoint thinking. Secondly, there must be grace orientation, which means that you can't earn it, you don't deserve it, you get it by grace, you're saved by grace, you live by grace, you treat other people in grace. God graced you out. And thirdly, you must understand the faith rest drill, the third problem-solving device in the flat line. Those three things are critical, because without understanding grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and the faith rest drill, you're never going to be able to secure your personal sense of destiny. That's the problem. In spiritual maturity, once you become a mature believer, having a personal sense of destiny will outweigh any problem you have. It will carry you through any disaster you face, and it will relieve any heartache that may come your way. That's what the Bible says. Listen to Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God. In John 4:34, Jesus our Lord said, my food is to do the will of the one that sent me and to finish his work. In Colossians 1:9, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, since the day we heard of you, We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. You must learn to please God. And the only way you're going to do that is to have a knowledge of His will, to have a spiritual understanding, to fulfill the will of God for your life. That's what the psalmist said. That's what our Lord said. And that's what Paul tells you you must do. So if I ask you a simple question, straight up, what is God's will for your life? Do you know that? Do you even have an answer? I remember many years ago, a friend of mine who's now deceased came to me and told me that he wanted to run for the senator from the state of Alabama. He felt he was qualified to be the senator, and he had the financial backing of some big shots to give him the wherewithal to run a campaign to be the senator from the state of Alabama. And I happened to be with him for a few days, and I asked him, how did he know this was God's will? He did not have an answer. So what he was doing is he was trying to fulfill his own will and his own desire, which was noble, honorable, fine. Nothing wrong with him wanting to be a senator, and he probably could have been a great one, but that was not God's plan for his life. And when I explained how you know the will of God, a couple of days later he contacted me after he had left me and said, you have got me confused. I don't now understand. I now don't understand what I'm supposed to do. And that's because he was doing it on an intuition. That's his own words. I have an intuition that was not the will of God. He wasn't sure. And this is what you must be careful for. If you invest your life saving in a business, are you sure this is God's will for you? If you ask someone to marry you, are you sure this is the one God picked out for you? If you make a decision to change jobs and move, are you sure this is exactly what you're supposed to do? See, 99% of the time, most people gamble on that. Most people do not know how to determine what their personal sense of destiny is. That's where you must avoid being self-absorbed. You must avoid becoming so involved with yourself that you become preoccupied with your own destiny and you forget about the plan of God. You want to know one of the most dangerous things you can do? Concentrating on yourself. Because that can lead to arrogance. Because you will justify why you're right and other people are wrong. And you will deceive yourself. See, when you have arrogance, you look into the mirror of arrogance and you don't see what you really are. You see what you think you are. And that's very dangerous. If you are a spiritually mature believer, you can have self-confidence, and that's wonderful. It's based on God's Word. It's self-realization by learning God's plan, thinking about His choices, and solving His problems, and self-direction because you understand God's plan for your life. That means you have the motivation to study, the motivation to grow and fulfill that plan to the best of your ability. Your life will have meaning and purpose and is defined within the pages of God's Word. I did say study, and here's where the problem comes in. If you're involved in a church that's not teaching the Word of God, but rather focuses on emotional experience, then you're not going to get a lot. And if you think study means 10 minutes a day of having a sweet devotion, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, when I'm talking about your entire life, when I'm talking about decisions that will affect you and your family, I'm talking about understanding them completely. And that means that, number one, God has given you the filling of His Holy Spirit. God has given you a Bible. And God has given you one other thing. He's given you a shepherd, a pastor, a qualified pastor teacher. And it is the job of the pastor teacher to teach you God's Word, not to be the director of the good times on the cruise ship, First Church of this or that, but to give you God's Word. Unfortunately, many men who are pastors are not allowed to study and teach, because if they did, they would get run off, because people don't want that. People want a pastor to hold their hand. People want a pastor to pray for them. People want a pastor to make them feel better about themselves. And that may be all well and good, but if he doesn't teach you, if he doesn't teach you the Word of God, then when you must face adverse circumstances and difficulties.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
That's what...
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, I would invite you to stay with me. It's going to be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and we do this without any manipulation. You have heard me say that before. That's the key lines I say before every radio show. No manipulation, no gimmicks, no games. We're not here to solicit money. We're not here to sell you anything. We are here simply to do one thing, and that's to give you accurate information. The information that we pray will help you be able to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're able to do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust the plan. You do not need anyone to hold your hand. You just simply make the decision. I'm going to do this. And that's your decision. You have a volition. God gave you a chooser or a choice, and you can make any decision you want to make. And if you decide, for example, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, that's your choice. If you decide to learn God's Word and apply it into your life, that's your choice. But at least when I talk to you, when I give you this information, it lets you know what your choices are. Thank you for listening. So many of you are listening as these are new radio shows in your area that we're broadcasting right now, and thank you for listening. I hope we're able to build an audience that will stick with us for a long time to come. But we'll never ask you to join anything. We'll never ask you to give up anything. We'll never ask you for any money. We just ask that you listen and learn and apply. That's the key. Now, today on our radio show, as we talk about the flot line, remember what we're talking about. Flot is a military analogy for the forward line of troops. We're using that as an analogy for the Christian life. We're saying that there are basically 10 problem-solving devices found in the Word of God that can act as a main line of resistance inside your soul if you learn them and use them. And what they will do is they will stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why you hear us say all the time, adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. Because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. So by learning these 10 unique problem-solving devices, this is nothing new. This has been in the Bible, in the Word of God, in the canon of Scripture ever since it was written. And the first one is rebound. It's how we maintain fellowship with God once we break it. You see, we don't lose the relationship with God when we commit a sin. We break fellowship with God when we commit a sin. And when we go to God and rebound, we're using 1 John 1:9 to confess the sin. And that's why the Bible says if we confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. And this is where the Christian life must start. You cannot have fellowship with God with unconfessed sin in your life, because that only leads to discipline and purging from the Lord. And so when you realize you've sinned, whether it's a mental attitude sin or a sin of the tongue or even an overt sin, you must admit that sin to God. And when we do that, as the psalmist did in Psalm 32, 4 and 5, or as John wrote about in 1 John 1, 9, then we're able to be cleansed from the sin and to restore fellowship to God by means of the Holy Spirit. When we don't do that, when we don't rebound, we quench the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and we begin to operate as Christians in the energy of the flesh. And that's when we do all the right things in the wrong way. And so I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning. So problem-solving device number one, rebound. That solves the problem of the believer's personal sin. Problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that solves the problem of the believer's battle that we have, where it says in Galatians, the flesh wars against the Spirit wars against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. We all have a sin nature, and we will have it until we die, and we get a new body, a resurrection body. That one doesn't have the sin nature. This body does, because we're related to Adam. So that sin nature has to be contained, and the Holy Spirit is how we do it. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why the Bible implores us in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. That's the only way we can live the Christian life. We can't live it in the energy of the flesh. That's human dynamics. It doesn't work. The Christian life is a supernatural life, and it requires the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it requires learning and applying the Word of God into your life to bring maximum glorification to God during your time here on this earth. That's what it requires. Now, you're going to go to heaven once you believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. But the question is, during your time on this earth, are you going to bring glorification to God, or are you going to wander off down the My Way highway, as so many people do? And you're going to forget about it until it comes time to die. And then you're going to look back into your life and you're going to say, boy, I sure wasted a lot of time. And that's right. So many of us do waste a lot of time. So the rebound technique and the filling of the Holy Spirit are essential. If you're going to live the Christian life, you must understand the faith rest drill. Standing behind the promises of God, using faith as a shield to protect you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is nothing new, but the application and the understanding of it has been lost. We've gotten away from this stuff. We've gotten into a different type of Christianity today where people don't want to learn. People want to get involved in something else. This show is about learning and about applying. Also, a problem-solving device that's critical is grace orientation, where we come to understand the grace of God, His saving grace, His living grace, His dying grace, how He provides for us in grace. It's wonderful. What a wonderful way to live. My pastor taught me a long time ago, you don't ever ask for money. You don't ever sell anything. You don't ever hustle funds. If God's in it, God will pay for it. Just do your job, keep your mouth shut, and let the Holy Spirit provide. That's grace. What a wonderful way to operate. And then there's doctrinal orientation as a problem-solving device. And that helps us stay off of the human viewpoint type thinking, to understand what the will of God is with divine viewpoint, and to know God's Word and apply it into our life. Now today I want to talk to you about problem-solving device number seven. I didn't mention personal sense of destiny. We've covered that. We've talked about you having that personal sense of destiny, knowing where the Father wants you to be, what He wants you to do, what He wants you to think. Now we're going to talk about problem-solving device number seven and eight combined. It's called the integrity envelope. It's all about love. Love is a phenomenal problem-solving device. But I am not talking about emotional stimulation. I am talking about something totally different. Listen to 1 Peter 1:8. Whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you don't see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Having not seen him, you love. How can you love someone you've never seen? That's the question. Because this is the number one motivating virtue in your life. Personal love for God. Is it a fair question to ask you this? Do you love God? Can I ask you that personally? Do you love God? You know, talking about having not seen him, Jesus told Thomas, because you've seen me, in John 20:29, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me, and they have believed. You and I have not seen Jesus Christ. We've read about him. We've studied about him, but we haven't seen him. But do we love him? In Matthew 22:37 and 38, the Lord said to a lawyer who was asking a leading question, this is what he told him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." This is the first mandate with a promise. Listen, heart, soul, and mind, there are three parts to you. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a human spirit. Those are your three parts, your trichotomous. We don't all have the same body, but we all have the same soul. We all have mentality, we all have volition, we all have conscience, and we all have self-consciousness. And if we are born-again believers, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, then we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit empowering our human spirit. And this is where we have fellowship with God, in the spiritual realm. This is it. Listen, you have a body, big, short, tall, doesn't make any difference. You have a soul. This is the operating center of your thinking. And you have a spirit, and this is where you have fellowship with God, by means of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ said you are to love your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. You shall love is an imperative mood command in the New Testament and the Greek writings of the New Testament. This is not a request, it's an imperative. Matter of fact, it was in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6. These words I command you, they shall be in your heart. Teach them with diligence to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and talk of them when you walk. Talk of them when you lie down and when you wake up. Do you think it might be important if God puts that in the Bible, if Moses wrote that? What are we to talk about? Well, this love for God. The first mandate, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Now, do you love God? I'm asking you that. Yeah, I know you say, you've already asked me that two times, three times. All right, I'm going to give you a test. This is a test to determine if you love God. It's not going to, you're not going to have to write it down, no blue book here. But just think about this. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God. All right, I just said it. Here it is. It's coming next. This is the love of God. Now compare yourself to what I'm about to say. This is the love of God, that we keep his mandates, and his mandates are not a burden. So how do you know if you love God? If you obey him. And his mandates are not hard. So, personal love for God should motivate you to obey God. That's how you know you love him, if you are obedient to him. The Lord Jesus Christ had an issue with the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:2. Listen to what he told them. I know your works and I know your labor. I know your patience and that you cannot stand evil and that you test the prophets and you have persevered in patience and have not become weary. I mean, that sounds like an amazing testimony. So what was missing? Well, their faith had become so technical that they had lost the motivational function that it was all about. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, you have lost your first love. You've lost your first love. It was gone. Now it was all technical. Paul talks about this in Ephesians and makes this statement to the church at Ephesus. I heard of your faith and your love for all of the saints, and I keep praying for you. See, here's the connection. When you have love for God, then you have love for His children. Now, these are the two different loves I want to teach you today. We'll get into them this week, but one is personal love for God, and the other is impersonal love for others. They are not the same thing. Personal love for God is what motivates you to be obedient. Impersonal love for others is the function. See, that's the functional virtue, and one is the motivational virtue. This is what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more. And then he connects it to this, in knowledge and discernment, so that you can approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be without offense to the day of Christ. So he wants their love for one another to grow, and he wants it to grow in knowledge and discernment. If you think of love as a river, a river flows, a river has direction, and a river is contained by the banks. If it gets out of the banks, it becomes destructive. If you understand love as a destructive force, if it's not contained, then knowledge is one bank and discernment is the other bank. In other words, as you learn God's word, you're able to discern the right from the wrong, and the flow of love continues to grow in the right direction. But as soon as you let emotion get into it, and then the river overflows the banks and gets destructive. It doesn't say that you're to get emotional. It says you're to learn it. Emotions are wonderful at the right place, but not in worship of God. This is not where emotions come in. Emotions come in as an appreciator, not as a communicator. You can be the most emotional person in the world and not know anything. If you're going to love God, you must understand the God you love. That's why he said in Jeremiah, I'm looking for people that know me and understand me. I am telling you, you won't love God until you understand him. You may feel emotionally close to God, as I did when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I didn't have the appreciation for him that I do today, since I've learned about his essence. I've learned about his character. I've learned about his love for me. I love him much more today than I did when I first believed in Jesus Christ. And even today, I don't always obey, and neither do you. We are not perfect. We mess up. And the Father knows that. That's why he gave us rebound, so that we can clean ourselves up when we mess up. So, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ could recognize you? How would the Lord Jesus Christ recognize a believer? Well, he would see that you're obedient. He would see that you're respectful and cautious. He would see you're not controlled by your emotions. He would see you're not mechanical or legalistic. That means that you would lose your spontaneity. You don't do things freely anymore, naturally. See, this is what had happened at the church at Ephesus. They had gone in the wrong direction. So, you have to understand that. In Revelation 2:5, again, he said, you left your first love. Your love for God as a motivational virtue was gone, and they have become too technical. Listen. I'm going to give you a term my pastor taught me a long time ago. It's called reciprocal love motivation. Reciprocal love motivation. In 1 John 4:19, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So we are reciprocating the love. And then 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, it's one thing to say you love God, and it's another thing to demonstrate you love God by what you do and what you say. In 1 John 3:23, this is his mandate, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us the mandate in Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, here's the problem. What if you have a jerk for a neighbor? That's right, a jerk. A weird, obnoxious jerk for a neighbor. And what if they go to church with you? This happens all the time. When you are told that you're supposed to love a jerk, that almost sounds impossible. But it's not. I mean, after all, didn't God love you? You said, are you calling me a jerk? Probably so, yeah. I know I'm a jerk. And I know that if it was not for the grace of God, you and me both, we would be a greasy spot right now. And so, yes, God loves jerks like us. And we can love jerks like our neighbors if we understand how to do it. We love them based on impersonal love, not personal love. And this is what I want to teach you. Personal love for God is a motivational virtue. Impersonal love for the jerks, that's a functional virtue. There's no one in this world that you cannot love as a Christian. But you can't love them in your own energy. And it's not an emotional love. It's a love based on the respect that God has for you. See, God loved you. Remember John 3:16, God so loved the world. While you were still a sinner, God sent his Son to die for you. In eternity past, he knew all about you, and he provided your salvation in the form of a substitutionary death on the cross for you. He that knew no sin took your sin and died in your place. That was love. The Lord Jesus Christ became a sacrifice for you. And the Bible says, what greater love does a man have than he lay down his life for his friend? He gave his life for you. So, when we say that you are supposed to love the jerks, we're not kidding. It's possible. It's a wonderful way to live. That's why the Christian life is so unique, because you never have to be mad. You never have to be angry. You never have to carry a grudge. These are things that create stress in your life. If every time you look out the window, you see the idiot over there, and you get bent out of shape because he won't cut his grass, or you get bent out of shape because he won't move that car, or you get bent out of shape because of the color that he painted his house, man, you're looking at the wrong thing. And you don't quite understand how the Christian life functions yet. Aren't you glad that God doesn't whack you every time he gets bent out of shape with you? Every time you do something stupid, the Father doesn't hold a grudge. He forgives you. Why? Because he loves you. And yet you cannot forgive your neighbor because you don't love him. You hate him. And the reason is you don't understand what the Christian life is about. So what about this love thing? Well, one of the greatest distractions on the part of Satan in this angelic conflict we live in is in this area of love. See, the love of God has been distorted by Satan in every aspect of life. You know, like, don't kill the poor terrorist.
You know, love the enemy. Listen, well, I won't even go there. It's just the most misunderstood thing in the world. There are two kinds of people who claim to love everybody. One of them's drunk and the other's an idiot. And neither one of them have any discernment in life. So let's start with this. Love is the character of God. God is love. The Bible tells us that. And that love has 10 components. It has sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, veracity, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. I know those are all big words, and we could talk a lot about each one of those. But what we have to understand is that God is, in fact, love. And in the human race, there are several categories of love. There's love for God, then love for your right man or your right woman, your romantic love, and then there's friendship love. So we have Philip.